ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, ¡golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, March 20th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning. Going to have a bit of a news day, and just as we start the show, a press release from TFC pops in my inbox. But Caro, the kid they got from Chicago, has been loaned to Phoenix for the year. So we have an hour to do that, right?
Okay, so an hour. A Phoenix, former team of Didier Drogba. Okay, let's call Cal Kepner and talk about Phoenix. Now it feels like 2016. But that could have been an idea. But it's the international break. Dwayne and I are scouring the webs for news. But there's a couple of news. Tonight at 4:40 p.m. Eastern Time at Pearson International Airport, a new player is coming to town for Toronto FC. Pozuelo. The Pozuelo watch will finally be over for you, Dwayne. He's coming to town tonight.
Yeah, I've already moved on to the TAM watch. Don't kid yourself. But look, I obviously, if you saw the scenes in Belgium on the weekend, were the kind of a bit of an overreaction where they hung effigy of him, not a eulogy, that's the opposite, effigy of him, and then ran him over with a train as a tifo.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
Bit over the top, especially when you find out later that he was in Spain with his dying grandfather. So, you know,
hey.
Although it is a little suspicious that he left with a week to go.
The people were people, and hey, newsflash, people are not always nice.
No. Look, I can understand it too. Like, I mean, they're it looks, having followed Genk much closer than I ever have in my life over the past 6 weeks or so, I can tell you that they went from having a 12-point lead at the top to well, by the time that they break right now, I haven't looked. I didn't. The results in the weekend's going to be 3 or 4 points, and they haven't been playing very well since he started all this. And their championship hopes are dwindling very quickly. And in Belgium, there's only one Champions League position, and that is a lot of money that is associated with that. So,
the one team who makes the Champions League has like a few tens, if not 100 millions in front of the other team because of the amount of money that they do make compared to the other team in the Jupiler League. So, no, that's true.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's... Yeah, I mean, this isn't a Belgian show, but it has been interesting following it. I do kind of like their format. It's a little interesting. Reminds me of the OHL's playoff format back when I was like 8 years old. They had a round robin in the second round. So it was kind of interesting. But
it's like the Memorial Cup. Now. It's like the Memorial Cup or something.
In the middle of the playoffs. So, yeah, I hate the Memorial Cup. Don't get me going on that. It has everything to do with the 1999 championship that I was robbed of.
The Belleville Bulls,
fan.
Yeah, the Belleville Bulls.
Well, they beat the 67s 5 out of 7 playoff games, but yet the 67s are the champions. You figure that out, okay?
How? Anyways, this is, how can you be? Anyways.
I'll explain off air.
The other news in Major League Soccer and concerns Canada today as well. It's a news. It's to keep the club in the conversation. The Montreal Impact announced today that they are going to give a trial to Jack McInerney, former number 1999, former number 99, for the Montreal Impact back in 2014-2015. I guess Jack Mac is back, at least on trial.
Maybe, yeah. Look, he's a player that talk about started from the top and now he's here, right? Like, he hid the world at his...
Oh, sorry, Dwayne. I was going to say. So, we were talking to each other. I was going to say, 2013, he had scored like 13 goals, got capped by Jurgen Klinsmann, and was one of the best strikers in Major League Soccer. And then the rest happened.
This is what goal scoring does for you, though. Like, if you are a person who has any history of scoring at a level like in Major League Soccer, you will always get a look until you can no longer walk. It's not an old man by any case. So, and you know, we know. The Impact's they've been playing very well, so I don't know if they have many issues, but the one issue that they might have is depth and scoring, right? So it's worth a look for them, 100%, and he has a history there. It's not like they're bringing a guy in blind to Montreal, which is a market that some players might struggle to adjust to, although we've belabored that in the past. I think it's overstated, but at the same time, it's better to have a guy come in that is comfortable already with the environment, and you know, it's a new staff, new everything, but the stuff around it still is enough similar that maybe he can find some form back again. He's been a weird player. I never fully bought into that 13 goal season at the time, and I think that was the first year we started this show, so if you can go way back in the archives and listen to it if you want, but he was always sort of struck me as a guy that caught lightning in a bottle and wasn't necessarily going to repeat that, but I do think he's a guy that can certainly be your fourth or fifth striker. And if you can get him for $50,000, then, you know, it's better him than unknown.
That, and he's a striker that's different than the type of striker that Ian Bakht have now. Jackson Amel, a poacher, strong target man type of striker that is willing to create space and go to the contact and go to the duels and physical. You have Urruti, who's going to run around everyone and box to box for about 30 minutes a game at least, who's going to try to set up his teammates and give space to Piatti and to Okwongwo and to the other players surrounding him. Jack Mack is more of a, not like DeVayo back then, but he's more of a striker that's going to put himself in the position and wait and have the right bounce and finish it. Like a poacher, but not like a target man poacher. Just literally like a poacher and a finisher. And I guess you need one of those type of strikers in your team, and maybe that's why Miguel and Montreal Impact decided to give a trial to Jack Mack.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where he was last. I can't even remember. He's been in the 11 for a while, is he?
He was. He's been with the Indy 11 for the last 2 years in the USL.
Okay, so yeah, look, you're always, like as I said, if you can score goals, you're always going to get chances. And he was a player at the USL level that probably produced a good enough level to get looked at again. It is a trial. There is no guarantee here whatsoever. But, you know, you've got an international break to look at him. I'm sure the Impact, because they know this player personally, like there are people in that organization that still do know him, I'm sure, will know what kind of character he is. And will be able to very quickly evaluate whether this is someone that they want to bring back into the fold, so to speak. And if they do, I don't think there'd be any expectations on him. So it's a harmless move, is what I call it. I wouldn't expect much out of it, but it's not going to hurt you in any way.
It's a trial, so you haven't committed anything. He's there. You try. You practice a few times with us. Hey, you look good? Good. Here's a contract, sir. You don't look good? Well, good luck in your future endeavor. So it's one or the other.
Look, and I would think, as much as we joke about always getting a chance, not even to joke so much, there comes a point, though, when maybe he's found his level at the USL, right? And if he doesn't impress, he doesn't get a contract offer here, maybe he goes back to USL and he goes, okay, well, this is what I am. Or maybe he retires, because ultimately they have to make a decision like that at some point. And that could be what this is about, because USL salaries, you have to supplement them often, we'll say.
Yeah, you do. But Jack Mack, he's from Chattanooga, so maybe Chattanooga FC in the USL will give him a chance. But I'm sure he's going to find a spot in the USL if this trial doesn't go well with the Impact. But it's an interesting aspect, and it's something to talk about on a Wednesday morning on Soccer Radio. Dwayne B., let's move on to the hypothetical world. There's two things that are being worked behind the scenes by FIFA to happen. Either next year, well, next year, no, 2022, or to replace the Confederations Cup. Let's start with a 2014 Club World Cup happening in the summer in a tournament style.
Yeah. I was distracted a little bit by your Chattanooga comment, because I spent a spectacular 4 days about almost exactly 15 years ago there. Now, their university team was in March Madness at the time, which starts tomorrow. So there you go. Anyway, no, this 2014 Club World Cup, I guess they're calling it, is something that they're floating out to replace the Confederation Cup. This was announced a week ago Friday, when FIFA broke up for their meetings in Miami, which was hilarious, and half of the FIFA members didn't go because they were afraid to go to the United States soil, which, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I guess they know enough not to go to the United States because they might end up not going home. Yeah. At any rate, you know, the cynical person out there, which is most people that are observing FIFA, will realize that this is a bit of a money grab. This is an exercise in trying to compete with the UEFA Champions League, which I believe, like many, is the second biggest soccer product in the world, behind only the World Cup. So, you know, I think FIFA looks at that and has tried for years to make the FIFA Club World Cup, which happens in December, be a thing. You know, if we were playing FIFA the video game, this would be a spectacular thing to do. In fact, I've done it on games like that. I've generated this to sort of figure it out, create a World Cup-like tournament for club teams.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. But the reality is that the players on the pitch aren't necessarily robots or video game characters. They're not avatars. They're human beings, and they get injured and they get beat up and they don't perform as well as you would expect, you know, for their club team when they get out of that. And the FIFA Pro Club Association has already come out to say that they're not that interested in this. That doesn't mean it won't happen, because negotiations can happen.
And money, but, like, you take a stick, you put a string, you put that big carrot of money at the end, you'd be like, here you go. You want that Club World Cup tournament now? Players will be like, oh, okay. Okay, you give a million to the team, a million per player who wins? Sure, we'll go for it.
Yeah, look, the players are pushing more and more back with their time, and the clubs are certainly pushing more and more back. And, you know, the other thing that this is probably trying to compete with would be the idea of a Super League, which has, you know, low-key traction consistently. And the older generation gets, the more likely something like that might happen one day. Whether that would take place as a league separate from others or something that's just sort of a Champions League on steroids, I don't know. But this would obviously be something to compete. And that UEFA FIFA battle has always been out there. And this is, I think, another shot over the bow in that one. You know, the idea isn't, again, it isn't terrible. It's, if you know, in isolation, it's not terrible, Kevin. And I'm one of the few people that I think are saying that. I don't know what you think of it, but I mean, I think I'd enjoy watching it when it was on, but I do get the problems behind it.
I'm a fan, you know, I like the sport, and I like the behind the scenes of the sport. Like, I like the, not behind the scenes is not the right word, but I like how the sport is packaged, right? I like how you put a nice little golden bow, you put a little bit of a confetti here, you design it correctly, you make it a nice little tournament, you make it mean something, you have a couple of great narratives of teams in there. Of course, I'll be like covering this tournament on a day-to-day if it happens. For me, who's a fan of, like you mentioned, FIFA and a little Champions League, I've been following the impact for a long time, and having the Club World Cup as an objective since the late 2008, 2009, with the impact being in the CONCACAF Champions League, I've grown fond of not necessarily the competition that is the Club World Cup now, but I've grown fond of what the potential of those three words could be, the Club World Cup. We know how World Cup is big every 4 years, and we know how the UEFA Champions League is big every year, the final. And for me, it's like those two having a kid. And those two having a kid would be a 2014 World Cup, where the final could be the most watched club football game ever.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to, you know, sports meaning is dictated by the amount of interest that we as fans put in it, right? It's the social contract that makes it matter. The question I would have about this would be, would there be an initial buy-in on it? But I think as soon as it started, there would be instant interest, because you'd be looking at, you know, I'm not sure how they'd be qualifying on it, but you'd probably have 12 UEFA teams, 24-team tournaments, with half of them be from UEFA. And, you know, these are power weights that would be playing each other every day. You'd be watching, it'd be like 3 weeks straight of Champions League football. It would be incredible that way if they would play up to form. But again, it's not in isolation. I mean,
yeah.
I like the idea. I just don't know how you fit it into the schedule without drastically reducing something. And the leagues are reluctant. Like, you could maybe, you know, maybe you make the argument that instead of 38 game seasons, that you should be playing 30 game seasons to get a little out of that. Maybe you scrap the League Cup. You know what I mean?
Well, like, there I was are gonna, things that the I was league gonna say- that the Oh, sorry. I was just going to suggest scrapping a tournament, like scrapping a cup competition or scrapping one of those, and those leagues that you save, you're trying to like, if example, we all know the FA Cup is like the last big club trophy in England, at least every year, right? But if you're not in the FA Cup and you finish your league, you got a couple of weeks there free, maybe there, right? Maybe, okay, you want to be in the Club World Cup, you can't if you have the FA Cup because we're gonna have it at the same time. But it could be that time period where there's like a week or two, maybe two and a half, that you could squeeze it in after leagues are done and before the end of the FA Cup.
Yeah. Fair enough, yeah. The one problem, it's again, not to belabor this, but to go back to the UEFA versus FIFA thing, this is really where the battle comes down. I think the South American clubs would buy into this because it would be a true opportunity for them to compete on a global scale and to market themselves on a global scale. I think, obviously, CONCACAF, Asia, Africa, Oceania, I guess, would be interested as well because, again, when do our clubs, other than that dinky little tournament in December that no one actually watches when it's on, and that's because it's usually in the middle of the night.
And usually on a weird stream or like a Setanta Sports or Sportsnet World type of channel.
Yeah, it's hard to find and it doesn't generate a lot of interest because, you know, in that one-off situation, the chances of an upset is very, very slender. I mean, I think that if you played 3 weeks of games, you would see, you know, Monterrey beat, I don't know, Barcelona or some silly thing like that, and you'd be like, whoa, right?
Wow. But yeah. I guess that's what we want to see, though.
But, yeah,
hey, I mean, Monterrey could beat Barcelona, Dwayne. But Monterrey is good, you know. The Rayados are not bad at all. But
yeah, any given Sunday and all that stuff, yeah. Look, I mean, it's... I'm still not, you know, we're talking about this in theory as an idea more than something that we think is going to happen yet. What it would do as well, and I think it's important to mention this, is it would eliminate the Confederation Cup, which has long been a tournament that a lot of people have wondered about. But the Confederation Cup does prove valuable. It does do a valuable service, and that is it is a test
yeah.
for the team that or the country that is hosting the World Cup. And I think it would be a shame to lose a test event, so I do think they should replace it with something. I will give them a humble suggestion. You don't need to have men.
I was gonna say there's a women World Cup usually like a year or two before the World Cup, so
you could have a women's club World Cup too, which I think is more badly needed than the men's club World Cup in many ways because it would be truly a competition. I don't know, like if PSG was playing the Portland Thorns, how would that work out? That would be something that would be more interesting. And then you throw in the Australian teams, you throw in the Japanese teams, and I think that you would really have something to bite your teeth into there for women's soccer fans. Now, obviously, the scale's a little different, but really, when you're talking about test events, it doesn't so much matter. You could also just have, like, on the women's side of things, the way that they do a test event for the Women's World Cup is they have the Under-20 World Cup is automatically given to that country as well. That's another option they could do to replace the Confed Cup. But I do think we've seen the last of that event. And I don't want to say good riddance to it because I've always watched it when it's on. But
and
I
we've
would
talked
watch
about it, yeah.
U8's play. So, you know, I'm not the target here.
Yeah, no. We'll see. That's the idea. But the other idea that's been floating around FIFA for the last few months is the possibility of having a 48-team World Cup in 2022. Now, of course, in our neck of the woods, if this happens, it gives CONCACAF one more spot. And with CONCACAF with one more spot at least, well, we're looking at a path to qualification for Canada for 2022.
I think it would give CONCACAF 2.5 more spots, actually.
So 2.5? Like, you're not talking about, like, 3.5 spots. You're talking about 6 spots now,
yeah,
which would be awesome.
Yeah, maybe five or six, depending on any playoffs that would happen. But I think this one's happening. The only real – they want it, right? I hate the format. I hate the three-team groups. I think it's a bad idea. I think there's a better way to have a 48-team World Cup, and I've laid it out before. You would have basically a play-in round to get to 32 teams. And then you play normal World Cup. I think that would be a better way. You would still label that play-in round as a World Cup, and then if you do the math, 48 would go down to 32 yeah. pretty easily. You'd have the 16-team thing there.
Well, 24 teams, 12 moves on.
Yeah, it would make a lot more sense. But at any rate, they want to do the three-team group. You know, the only problem with that, the way you play that one out is you play a two-game series against whoever you're drawing, so at least you get 2 games per World Cup. That would add a lot of games, but... nonetheless, it would be a better way to do it. But the point I'm making with this is that I think that this is going to happen because the money behind it is so big, and it's also a political play that by increasing the amount of World Cup spots, you're increasing your power dynamic, your power support when you're trying to be a political force within FIFA. It's I think why you're seeing a 16-team Gold Cup this summer for the same reason. That's one of Victor's plays to keep his power in CONCACAF. It's all these tournaments are going to expand. The biggest issue with 2022 is Qatar. It's the region. That country is so small, and they're already literally killing people to get that thing ready. Really want to put more pressure on them. And the other alternative would be to expand it to other areas in the Gulf, which is a political nightmare if you understand the Gulf politics, which I don't think anyone does. Otherwise, there might be peace there. So there's a lot of logistical issues around this, but I think if they can work those out, basically, I think it would be you throw a few games to a couple other Gulf nations, then I think this probably is going to happen. And that's, you know, there's a reason why we haven't heard what CONCACAF qualifying is going to look like yet. Normally by this time we would know.
That's true.
It would be a hex, and we have not heard confirmation on that.
What's the point of having a hex if everyone in the hex makes it?
So. Well, they would. They'd go to probably two the final round of two teams of four each. Probably two groups of four each is probably how they would do it. Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll see. It's a fascinating idea, but it would give Canada more chance to qualify for 2022. So maybe when John Herdman said a few weeks ago that we're going to qualify for 2022, maybe he knows something we don't, because maybe he knew. When he was mentioning the high likelihood of Canada qualifying for 2022, maybe he knew something we didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd take it. Obviously, I would. I mean, by the time it happened, I'd be excited for it. But it'd be a shame to not get three games in a World Cup, and that would be all that would mean. You'd be guaranteed two games, not three, and that would be an awful downer to get all that excitement for two damn games, you know, one of which would probably be against a Senegal or something. With all due respect to Senegal, you're not getting high end games when you get to 48 teams. You're getting, you know,
more
those kind of mid-table
matchups. Yeah, it's not the high top. It's not like it doesn't become top heavy. It doesn't become minnow heavy. It becomes mid-table heavy. That's what happens usually. But yeah, it's interesting.
I do actually love the world playoff for the final 12 spots that I just mentioned. You know, I suggested you could make that, you know, label at the World Cup, but think about how the Champions League has rebranded the final qualifying round now and how they made it a thing. Like, I think the World Cup would do a wonderful job. You just have these, you know, 24 teams playing down to 12, maybe a month out of the World Cup itself. The amount of intensity around those games, the amount of spectacle around those games, it would be, I think, make them a ton of money. You would be expanding kind of the World Cup to other parts of the world that would never see it before, because you've been playing home and homes, you know, against these things. I think you make it a world draw, which would potentially mean you'd get more European, more South American teams, which I'm not opposed to, even as a CONCACAF thing, because ultimately the tournament is supposed to be about the best. So yeah, I kind of prefer that when you're going to go up to 48, but I ain't running FIFA, Kevin. Neither are you. So.
No. And I don't think I ever will, so there's that. But it's something to keep an eye on, and it's something to keep thinking about. And to all our listeners out there, what do you think about a 24-man Club World Cup? What do you think about a 48-team World Cup? Let us know at 24th Minute for Dwayne, at Kev Laramie for myself, and at Soccer Today SPN for the show. You can catch our live show Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. on our Twitter feed at Soccer Today SPN. And you can find the podcast version anywhere you get your podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with the Two Solitudes Thursday. Dwayne and I will go to patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork and produce a Canadian soccer-only show for our Patreons. And we do appreciate your support, and make sure you go to Patreon to take the pledge and become an insider of Canadian soccer. But as always, until next time, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie, and have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.